just for a little bit of a, I think I'm on, am I on? There we go, Derek, perfect. A little bit of a fun testimony how God blessed me with this particular song. I was involved, a lot of you that have been with us for a while. Yes, ma'am? You are so good, Ange. You are so good. Thank you. I had the privilege of spending 9 months going in and out of communist countries in 1985 and being a pastor to come alongside pastors, being in churches and sometimes preaching, sometimes sharing a testimony. And I was in Bucharest, Romania, and it was cold and it was miserable as weather goes. The church had partially been torn down by the government. It was an underground church, and it was snowing and raining into the side of the building. I expected to be seeing a dozen or 20 people that Wednesday night. They didn't know we were coming because we couldn't announce it ahead of time. We came into the building. The pastor didn't know we were coming because we can't advertise for their safety's sake, right? We went in, and he immediately recognized my traveling companion, Dave Ibbotson. So we were escorted into a back room to pray together. And I saw about seven or eight people, maybe a dozen, I don't know, in an auditorium twice the size of this, so double the length, and close to this width. My thinking back there, it's Wednesday night. The government had put a driving ban on from January through April to save money for the government. So it was police, secret police, buses, tractors, and tourists. But nobody's a tourist in Romania, so that means we're missionaries and they knew it. So the secret police just followed any random car like ours and whatever. It was cold. The people were bundled up. Anyway, I was asked to do music that night. I brought my harmonicas, my harmonica harness. They provided a guitar. I liked the combination, kind of fun. And I decided to do that song with harmonica and guitar. Well, we walked out of our prayer time and the place was packed. People were just about sitting on each other. Probably, kid you not, 400 people there that night on a Wednesday. And they couldn't get a ride or drive. Okay, pretty emotional moment. I got about two stanzas into that song and everybody started singing in Romanian. I didn't know they would even know it. I've never played in Romanian before. But it brought us together. Worshiping that God. It was a wonderful moment. It was true worship. It's a song that has been translated in probably more languages than any other Christian song in history. It was brought to this country in 1951 by Stuart Hine and made famous. Others have been big name. People have sung it, and it was written over a period of time, part of it from Eastern Europe under communism. And I didn't know it until that night. Pretty spectacular. What's that?
Nursery.
Nursery.
Did you do that?
Yes, thank you. Natalie. Thank you. We've been going over the nuts and bolts, the basics, the foundation of what God's design for the church and church leadership is. A lot of material has been written, but it doesn't. It doesn't beat what we have here. Some of it explains some of the how-tos that the scripture gives us. But God's design for the church, the local church, and for the leadership. Last week, I dealt with the process of putting a man into or men into the position of elder, which is scripturally an elder, is a pastor, is an overseer, is a shepherd. Acts chapter 20 defines that very clearly. There's some other passages as well. Last week, we talked about some of the forms that are used in our culture, and some of those have some real downsides, and explained to you how we have chosen to do it here. It's not the only way, and it's not a foolproof way, but it's how we do it. It's a process. Some of you are business owners. Some of you are managers in businesses, and I'm going to aim at you, first of all, this morning, because we're not going to talk about the how-to of putting in position. We're going to talk about you when you have a slot that needs to be filled with somebody that knows what they're doing, and you're going to go out looking for them to hire them. Okay? Business owner or manager, what do you have to have in mind? What needs to be done? After that is in place, then you go looking for the person that's going to fill the gap, right? You have a job description in hand or in mind, and you begin interviewing people. Some of you could tell this story far better than I could. You live it. In the church, I think it is very, very important to look at what the man or men will be doing, and then go looking. Because what are they able to do, combined with the qualifications that 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1 give, may line us out to lead us to the man or the men that would be the elders, which are pastors, overseers, shepherds. Okay? That's what I would like to address this morning. I'm calling this the owner's manual. And I'm saying that he's got job descriptions. After we understand those job descriptions, not only is it going to help us in the appointing, if you want to call it that, of a pastor, but also in how to treat them. How to appreciate them, how to work alongside them, how to confront them. That's what I'd like to talk about in the next few weeks. But this morning, the job description. We're going to take a look at responsibilities. Quite a bit in the scripture about it. It might seem simple. Oh, yeah, he's the pastor. When I came here at 29 years old to pastor this church, and Kurt Christian that brought me here, some of you would remember him, drove away. Dang, I felt little. I felt like, who in the world am I and what am I doing here? Yet at the same time, God had been working on my heart telling me I am moving toward the pastorate for a number of years before that, my second year of Bible school. I knew that was the direction. Okay, now here I am feeling just a little bit scared at the very least. It might seem simple, this looking at the responsibilities. But it's complex. It involves God, who is the perfect great shepherd, and imperfect men, whom he uses as under shepherds, and a bunch of imperfect people, sheep, if you will. God calls you that. Me too. Over which he has a responsibility to shepherd. Essentially, that means to feed, but it also means to protect and to guide, nurture, come alongside of. And that pastor will be answering to him for what he does. Doesn't let the sheep off the hook, because Romans 14 says every one of us is going to give account to God for what we've done. What a responsibility that I, at some point, am going to answer to the great shepherd for what I've done in pastoring. We're going to look at six different scriptures this morning, and there are more to look at. We're going to start where we've been four or five times in the last 8 weeks. Acts chapter 20. Would you join me there, please? Acts chapter 20. Paul has called for the Ephesian elders. He's on the island of Miletus. He doesn't want to go to Ephesus because he knows he'll get stuck there because he's a people person. He's heading for Jerusalem and he didn't want to get sidelined. He called them together, the elders, plural, of the one church. Verse 25, I'm going to step in. And now behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will see my face no more. Man, what a sobering moment that would have been for him and them. So it's his last charge to them. Therefore, I testify to you this day, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. Everywhere he's gone, with as much as he has in them, he is proclaiming Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. He's done his job. 27, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. And then the warning and the charge. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Last week, we didn't talk much about the Holy Spirit placing the man in a position. We talked about the ways or the forms that various churches do it. And it comes down to electing in some, direct appointing in others. And sometimes they are choosing ones that have no qualification. Or they have things in their life which absolutely disqualify. Yet here they are. And where's the Holy Spirit in that? The Holy Spirit has made you overseers here in Ephesus. To shepherd the church of God, to feed, to teach is what feeding means there, as well as the nurturing, protecting, and so forth, which he purchased with his blood. It belongs to him. And it will destroy a church when a pastor starts thinking of this is my church. Now and then somebody will say, well, at your church, okay, I get what they're saying, but it takes everything within me to control my tongue and not say, this isn't my church. And sometimes I do, depends on the moment. The church which he purchased with his blood. What are you doing with it, elder? Whew. That should be a heart-trembling, sobering moment when God brings you to that place. He purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves, some will be male and some will be female, will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, leadership in the church itself that's going to go sideways. Men will arise speaking perverse things. They might start out right like Hymenaeus and Alexander, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and then go sideways. Like Alexander, they're going to go sideways to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. That is our foundational authority. It is more than just suggestions. This is God's way. The owner's manual is in our hands by the grace of God. All of us have access to that. At this time, not everyone had access to it. It was still being written, by the way. And then copied, and then on and on. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able, the word of his grace, is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Job description number one, the teaching of the scripture, the explaining of the scripture, the application of the scripture to guide lives, to be used to compare with these that are going perverse. Now, God says no. God says no. And draw the line in the sand about it. There are many fringe issues, like we were talking last hour. Thank you, Michael. That was a wonderful teaching. But there are some that are not so fringe. They're life and death. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, I've had to narrow down the scripture selections just for the sake of your sit ability. 1 Thessalonians 5. To the church at Thessalonica. I got to drive through there in 1985, but I didn't get to stop. Anyway. But we request of you, could be urge. It's just short of commanding, like Romans 12:1. We're insisting, but it's not a command because you've got to choose to do it. We request of you, brethren, there at the church at Thessaloniki, that you appreciate or know. There's a lot to that. We'll get back to that in the next few weeks. Those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. I would like to unfold this whole thing right at this very moment, but I'm going to save it and use just part. Looking at the job description that is given here for the pastors, let me say, like I did a couple of weeks ago, I am not looking for you to treat me any differently than you have been. My family and I have been treated with utmost respect and generosity for years. So I say, thank you. Good job. When I step out of the position, and this is not making you prepared that I'm going to do that, I don't have a letter of resignation in mind. That's not it. But reality is we've all got a shelf life. And we have need for elders to come in and maybe some to go out, whether it's aging out or them themselves dying. This is just to train us up in God's way so that we do what he has designed. So that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you. They're touchable. Zeb and I were talking a little bit about church and the fact that some will travel a good distance to another church that suits them better. Okay, one of those that people here in the Valley used to travel to was Applegate Christian Fellowship. A lot of years. Okay, if it's God is there and he's going to minister it to you, wonderful. Your gas bill. Then I got a call from a young lady, Sabina's granddaughter, that had been going there with her dad for years. Said, Pastor Dan, would you write me a letter of recommendation? She's not part of her church. She is part of a church, but they don't know her. You understand the point? I wrote the letter because I knew her. She needed a pastoral reference. But in what was happening, there couldn't possibly be one. There's a downside to it. That's part of it. Those that labor among you. We cut a tree a couple years ago, David. That was fun. That was a good time. As it ought to be. Cliff, why are you for points so much? Dave, you've collected firewood for Sabina and for others over the years. Not so able these days, we get it. Those that diligently labor among you. And the next part, have charge over you in the Lord. Oh boy. What does that mean? It certainly does not mean he takes charge of your life and your decisions. You're responsible to God. Though he may be available for scriptural counsel, guidance, you are responsible before God for your choices. Having charge over you in the Lord qualifies it. This has to do with teaching and applying godly actions and attitudes as is found in the scriptures. Hebrews 13:17 will be there in a little bit. We'll address that more. But if this is out of order, it is the pastor's responsibility to point out the scriptural way, God's way. To love God is to obey God. John 14:21, Jesus said that. In order for us to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we must obediently place ourselves under God-given authority. Did you know that? That is one of his commandments, and therefore we must obey. Hebrews 13:17, we'll get there in a little bit. Don't turn there yet. But in order for us to unless you don't believe me, then you can turn there, but I'm telling you, check me out, you know. But in order for us to willingly place ourselves under the charge of another, including a pastor, there's two foundational attitudes that are necessary, required in fact. These are at the very ground level of a godly person. Are you ready? You taking notes? Humility and submission. You can't even say that Jesus Christ is Lord without some degree of those. Humility is not thinking poorly of yourself. It's a reality check. Am I being honest with me and before God and these people? Submission means to place yourself under. And we are to place ourselves under one another, according to Ephesians 5:20. All of us. Wives, it looks like this. Husbands, it looks like this, and so forth through Ephesians 5. But that is required as churches move forward under leadership. But opposite of humility and submission may be, in fact, arrogance and independency. Gonna do it my way. You don't like it? There's the highway. In the church? Absolutely. And some pastors? Absolutely. We're going to get to the scripture in 1 Peter that addresses that. But what seems to be the least desirable attribute to pursue are humility and submission. I did it my way. Wait a minute. Self-made man is a pathetic example of unskilled labor. Lifting oneself up by their own bootstraps. All these sayings that challenge you, American. We're American, That seems to be the opposite of humility and submission. And I'm not trying to undermine effort. That's not where I'm going. But when it comes down to going God's way, the master's way, humility and submission. Humility and submission do not come naturally. They are a choice we make. They are very necessary attitudes in this pastor-parishioner relationship, and it goes both ways from one and the other. God has designed the gift of pastor, according to Ephesians 4, and invested that into the church. That's God's design. but he's placed that on imperfect men. That's complicated. And so there's ways to deal with the imperfections in the man. God includes that in the instruction manual. When we go outside of that, we get into trouble. Again, thank you, Michael. You touched on that last hour. I appreciate that. If one is not cooperative as a leader is trying to lead in the way of God, it can make the job impossible or at least miserable for the pastor. Hebrews 13:17, we'll get there in a minute. Let's look at another scripture. Oh, by the way, and give you instruction. Labor among you, have charge over you in the Lord, the things pertaining to a godly attitude and action, and then give you instruction. 1 Timothy chapter 5, right close by. Verse 17. Let the elders who rule well, oh my goodness, ain't nobody gonna rule me, man. What does it mean? Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Rule well, besides what I said with the last scripture, it comes down to managing and management. It isn't in any way lording it over anybody. 1 Peter 5, we'll get there in a few minutes. These all gel together. Those that do the job well, consider worthy of double honor. I had paragraphs that I could read about what that looks like from a personal touch or others that I've known. Double honor means you pay them twice as much money. No. It does include take care of them. It does. Whether that is supplying what is needed for the table, maybe finances, maybe time away. Let me take care of this. You go double honor. But especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. When we began this series, I said, you know, the primary job that the pastor, which is an elder, which is an overseer, which is a shepherd, is to be doing is teaching. What are they teaching in the scripture? And so we're going to be looking at a series of scriptures that come down to this, that point to this. And I'll tell you this, I will be so honest with you, that if preaching and teaching was all that I had to do, that is the icing on the cake. I love that. It's the other stuff that ain't so fun. At times downright miserable. The preaching and teaching, there's a question, though. If they work hard at it, that tells me they've got a heart for it. They're wanting to dig into it. They are not just plagiarizing somebody else's work who's gone through the labor. They're in it, and it's fresh. It's not an old, stagnant pond that he's drawn from. Can I draw on other people's work? I better. There's nothing new under the sun. But is he hearing from God and delivering that in such a way? You know, I can eat cold food when I'm hungry, but boy, is it good when it's hot and ready. Same with this. Let's go to 1 Peter 5 now. First Peter 5, first few verses. Peter is writing to elders in this group that's scattered. He says where it is and who that is in 1:1. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the suffering of Christ. That's different than them. He experienced that firsthand. And partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Here's the exhortation. Shepherd the flock of God. That means to teach, to feed truth to, and to nurture according to that same scripture. To come along with salve to put on a wound. Wounded hearts are the hardest to heal. I can put a Band-Aid on my cut. Shepherd the flock of God among you. Exercising oversight, they are overseers, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God. Oh, there's the Holy Spirit again. God has put you here to do this. You best be leaning on him. According to the will of God. But with eagerness. And here it comes. Nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. There's a way to lead. I learned a long time ago from Marv Rosenthal that the Israeli army loses more leaders, whatever officers, percentage-wise than any other army, because their officers are out front saying, follow me, instead of go get them, boys. That is what a husband should be. That is what a pastor should be. Follow me as I follow Christ. Leading by example, the very words are used right here. How dare I tell you what to do if I am not willing to do it, if I'm not in process of doing it? We're in this together. Leading by example. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, that's where I got that wording, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Cool. What's that going to be like? I don't know. But you know what? I'd much rather hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, than what in the world did you think you were doing? I'm just following his example. Great. Who is he? Now let's back up to Hebrews 13. Let's begin at verse 15. Through him, that would be our Lord Jesus, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips giving thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good, but sharing. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this will be unprofitable to you. The scripture, as I understand it, trying to be honest with it, does not say to obey the government. It says to submit to the government. Different word than obey. The word obey is purposely used here. In obedience to what? The man? Question mark? Yes, if he's leading by example. Yes, if he's following the scriptures. Ultimately, who am I obeying if I'm obeying the God-appointed leaders? And by the way, They're not just on a whim telling you, yes, don't buy that car, or, you know, it's you make those decisions. He is coming along and saying, how's your attitude? What's your heart in this situation? I hear the detail, but where are you really? And then we make adjustments. Obey your leaders, and it is not talking about government leaders here. In the context, it is your elders in your local churches. Okay. What if he's not leading well? Well, why'd you stick him in position? You see, it backs up. Why do we have some of the people that we do in leadership? Some of them go sideways midstream. I know that. I am capable of that. I don't want to do that. I've been close. I don't want to do that. If he is God-appointed leader, trust God and go it with him. He's going to be leading you in what heart, what attitude, maybe what to say or quiet. Submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. Next week, we're going to be looking at recognizing the heart of a pastor. How do you know? Not just checking his pulse to see if he's alive. Any warm body can fill a slot. That's not what we want. So you have a pastor's heart. If he's got a pastor's heart, he's going to be leading toward God. If he's leading toward God, you best be in that obedient and submission place. It's what it is. And by the way, over the years, I've had pastors leading me even as I'm pastoring. To this day, I have people that I can appeal to you and say, help. So it's not past me. I'm in it. And by the way, I tremble also as those who will give an account to God. Is that now or is that later? He doesn't say. But I think it's to be taken very, very seriously. And then back on the sheep, let them do this with joy, not with grief, for this will be unprofitable for you. What brings joy to a pastor's heart? We'll be looking at that a bit next week. What do you think it might be? Just think that through. Let's have some interaction. What would bring joy to a pastor's heart? What's that?
Obedient sheep.
Okay, some encouragement. Please say that again. So I know I didn't misunderstand you. Sheep, the servants, forgiveness, dropping all thoughts of keeping an account of wrong suffered. Love says you don't do that. You forgive. Forbearance, which is commanded several times, it simply means put up with it. And if it becomes offensive, confront it. There's a way and place to do that. When that is going on, and we've got servants serving one another, serving the community, I'll tell you what, man, it makes a pastor's tail wag. Yay! I love it when I meet somebody just at the post office and the conversation goes to, well, it's like you were saying last Sunday. Thank you, Zeb. You're my friend too. Okay, let's open it up for other interaction. Then I've got one more little closing bit. What are your thoughts to this point? I hope you're glad, by the way, you're involved in this governing that God has set up. Go ahead, Nick. Submit is to place yourself under. It's hard to obey without that also, but obey is yes, sir. I think that we are called Acts 17:11 is a great place to reference, to check it out to make sure the word of God is saying what the boss is saying to do, the man. But obeying is doing what God has spoken through that leader. And it has to do with the way, is it God's way that I'm addressing whatever situation I'm in that he's come to the side to help? Can I, as a pastor, as I'm hearing stuff, and all of you probably know this, but it should be repeated again. When I'm hearing from this person, I've only heard half of the story. I haven't been able to fairly balance it out and listen to both sides. Can I stop myself from going into that place of judgment and maybe offer some help and some hope? Okay, and I believe if somebody seems to be out of order right there, they need to have a turnaround, believe in God through the scripture that is being addressed to tell that person. A submission to is a placing under leadership for you with your wife. Priscilla, nice to see you guys this morning, by the way. You are to be the support. You are to be the undergirder under the bridge supporting this woman. A pastor is to do that as well. That's a submitting that we do. Ephesians 5 talks about that. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Obeying might be not agreeing with them in my brain, but they've said it. The scripture says it. Do it. That would be a distinction that I see. I don't know, it might be too fuzzy, but that's my quick response. I've got an article I've written on submission, placed it in a workbook on this topic. So anyway, okay, thank you. Anybody else? David? So right here in Ephesians 13:17, they keep watch over your souls. That terminology, it means they stay awake. They lose sleep at night. They stay alert. One of the heartaches that Paul talks about in his experience in this ministry, 2 Corinthians 11, is the heartache that he experiences when people in churches are caught up in sin. Of course, that's getting at the next week's teaching. The heart of a pastor, does he ache when people have gone sideways? Oh yeah, it's a great reminder. It's an encouragement to me personally because so much of it, it seems like is being lived out in our church family. Perfectly? Absolutely not. But we're going in the direction. So yeah. Turn to Ephesians 4. I'm going to read this as a concluding thought. Beginning at verse 11, and he gave, invested literally, some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for, this is his purpose statement, the equipping of the saints, that's all of us, for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Ministry, one another style, is to be happening continually. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth, in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. The head is not the pastor, by the way. The head is Christ. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. Hallelujah, you've got something to offer. And I need you. Even if I don't like you. You're part of the body of Christ. We're in this together. According to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body, of the building up of itself in love. This is God's way, the master's way. I'm ready to sing a song unless you have any other comment or question. Father, thank you that your truth, your scripture, exposes stuff in our heart and our mind. Help us to be willing to leave our preconceptions behind us if they're wrong, and to follow hard after you because it's right. I do pray, as we go into this world, Lord, into what we are doing, school or businesses or whatever, home life, Father, that you would take the lead, that we can look to you as author and finisher of the faith, the great shepherd of our souls. We look to you and ask, God, for your work to continue on in our life, which means I need to submit to you and say, yes, Lord, thy will be done. Keep us safe as we go from here. Lord, in this crazy world, keep us sane. Help us, Father, guide us by your thoughts, guide us by your truth. And let us realize, Lord, help us, remind us that we're not sinking yet. We have a great God who is in charge. Yes. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.